once again for being here. This is the third part of our series. We've been doing the hoofbeats on the horizon, and comes from Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. So if you would follow along with me in whatever scripture you may have. I'm reading from the NIV. It says, "I watched as the Lamb opened the first seal. Then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, 'Come.' I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. When the Lamb opened the seal, I heard the second living creature say, 'Come.' Then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make people kill each other. To him was given a large sword. When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, 'Come.' I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, 2 pounds of wheat for a day's wages, and 6 pounds of barley for a day's wages. And do not damage the oil and the wine.' When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth creature say, 'Come.' I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. And they were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beast of the earth." It's a gloomy little portion of scripture. If you read the first five verses, the first three was telling of Jesus walking through the churches, and he was addressing each church of the seven churches of Rome. And then it goes to heaven, and it's showing the heavenly worship and praise and glory that was given to the Lamb and to the Father. And then all of a sudden there was this stark change, and we enter into the sixth chapter, and we see immediately four horsemen. It's a scene that is painted that's full of pain and suffering. Praise and shouting has stilled. And now there's pain and suffering and judgment. We're in a time of tribulation upon the earth. It's called the Great Tribulation. And Jeremiah and Daniel and Matthew chapter 24, they address what goes on during this time. I've been asked, are we in the last days? I can't help but think that we are. I know that people laugh and scoff whenever you ask that question, but that was then, this is now. Joel in Acts says in the last days that God would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. The word says in 1 Thessalonians that there's going to be a great falling away. And we see all of those things happening. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 talks about the perilous times and the attitude of the people that's on the face of the earth at that time. It says people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Have nothing to do with those people. And right in the middle of that, we saw that first white horse and its rider having a bow. But there was no arrows. He had been given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror. That was the Antichrist. The church has been raptured in the fourth chapter. And now all of a sudden we see the entrance of a terrible time of tribulation. And the first person on the scene is the Antichrist. Then there was that second horse, that red horse, that red horse of destruction. And he was given power to take peace from the earth and to cause war and people to kill one another. It's going to be an awful time. Now we come to the third horse. In verses 5 and 6, we read about the black horse of destitution. When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, 2 pounds of wheat for a day's wages, 6 pounds of barley for a day's wages. Do not damage the oil and the wine. So then the white horse of deception, we learned that the symbol there was power and victory without bloodshed. The rider carried a bow with no arrows. The red horse of destruction denotes power in wholesale bloodshed, such as the world has never known. That rider had a command to take peace from the earth. And he carried a great, a large, a terrible sword. Now, we have a third rider on a third horse. And that seal is broken, and that rider makes his appearance. That horse is black. Black is the color associated with famine. And if you read in Jeremiah, you'll read there that he says, our skin was black from famine. Matthew 24, 7 and 8 says, and Jesus was speaking, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of birth pains. So there's going to be a severe time of shortage. Point A. The rider on this black horse has in his hands a set of scales. This indicates that the tribulation period will be marked by severe severe shortages and necessities of life. Mainly food, but there'll be other things also. There'll be no peace. There'll be no pleasure. There'll be very little prayer. There'll be no sense of gratitude. There will be no joy. The scene is going to be bleak. Apparently, the famines will be so severe that food and other basic necessities will have to be rationed. When Scripture takes note that bread or grain is measured and weighed, it does so to dramatize famine and the famine conditions. So anytime you see that the bread was weighed or measured, or the wheat or the flour was measured or weighed, you'll know that a famine was going on. This black horse carries the scale, and it will cast an ugly shadow of want over the face of the earth. But with possibly three continents locked in mortal war, battles are raging because of the red horse. There's others involved in one way or another. The grip of hunger is going to haunt every man, woman, and child on the face of the planet. You and I know very little about this. Very few of us sitting in this room or watching online really has any idea about what it is to do without, to be in famine and starvation time. Susan's dad was prisoner of war, Second World War. He was in Germany, and there was time of starvation. He was a big man, tall, husky. When he came out of prison camp, I think he said he weighed 92, 93 pounds, something like that. Total skin and bones. When someone has been through severe starvation, it starts wearing away the lining of your stomach and your intestines. And he suffered from those things. The whole world is going to be seeing that kind of starvation grip body after body after body. Moms are going to have to watch children, and children are going to have to watch parents literally wither away. The grip of hunger is going to be haunting. You and I got just a little tiny taste recently of having to do without, when for some unknown reason there was a run on toilet tissue. You can't eat that stuff. I don't know why, but the shelves were empty, and cleaning supplies, and in some places, foods, it was difficult to get them moving from one place to another. So there was often shortages. There was always something in there to eat. But sometimes it was kind of sparse and scary. Most times you and I can go to a grocery store or to a restaurant and we can buy all that we want, all that our hearts desire, all the food that we can eat. Our cabinets and our refrigerators and our freezers are filled with capacity. Those who went through the Great Depression of the 30s, they always saved everything, every little scrap. They always had extra food in the pantry because they did without for so long. I can remember my mom telling the stories because her dad had been killed by a logging accident. He owned a couple of different logging companies, and they were stolen away from my granny, my grandmother. And mom and her four brothers and sisters and my grandmother were destitute. And to hear those stories, it's horrible. But it's going to be like that worldwide. You and I know very little about having to do without and to make do with just morsels. But the day is coming when those who are resigned to this earth, they're going to know that. Miss the rapture going into the tribulation, you're going to know those times. Some of you remember the rationing of World War II. When you couldn't just do as you wanted to do. You had a rationing card. You had to have special tickets to travel. When the war began, the military demanded that certain goods increased dramatically, and there was shortages because of that. Those rationing books were handed out and they were used to go to the store, and you could only go on certain days and you could only get so much per month. Things like that you and I take for granted, like sugar and coffee and butter and meat and cheese and canned goods and shoes and gasoline. They were all carefully rationed, but not anything like it's going to be. It's going to be on a scale that we can't even imagine. During the height of the war, sugar was limited to 12 ounces per week per family. Gasoline was limited to 3 gallons per rationing period. Coffee was rationed at 1 pound every 5 weeks. Some of you would have gone crazy. You would have been gnawing trees down. Those must have been difficult times to live through. But the shortages of World War II will pale in comparison to the horrors and the scarcities that will be suffered during the tribulation. It's a time that's going to be marked by starvation. Verse 6 tells us some of the problems that will exist during that time. That biblical measure that the black horse rider holds in his hand, that scale, it would be enough to feed one grown man for one day. A penny, the Bible says, but that really means a denarius. It was a day's wages for one measure of wheat. So you worked all day to get enough so that you could eat. The wheat is the food by which bread is made, and barley was used primarily for cattle feed. But sometimes it was consumed by the very, very poor. So here you can imagine a man works all day just to be able to buy enough food to feed himself so that he can go to bed and get up and work the next day to get enough food to feed himself so that he can go to bed and get up the next day. What if he's got a family? He would work all day to buy enough food that's fit for an animal. And three people could eat it. Think about what this means. It's going to put people in horrible choices, hard places. But choices have to be made. People who can not get out of and work for themselves, they're not going to have anything. They're going to starve to death so that the workers will be able to eat. This is going to be a terrible, horrible time marked by starvation and death. The first horse rides out and he's conquering, but he's doing so by sleight of hand and by slick tongue. No arrows, no battles. Power is given to him. On the heels of that comes that red horse who has the power to take peace away, and there's going to be wars everywhere. And then starvation comes right on the heels. None of us have experienced conditions like those days will be. But many in our world, they do know the horrors of starvation far too well in some countries. Consider these statistics, and they're a couple of years old. Every 3.6 seconds, someone dies of starvation on the face of the earth. Still. That's hard to believe. In this day and time that people are actually starving to death, every 3.6 seconds, someone dies from starvation. Every year, 1.5 million children die of starvation and of hunger-related illnesses. That's 1.5 million. 4 million people starve to death every year. 1.3 billion people live on less than dollar of income per day. Another 3 billion have to try and survive on less than $3 a day. As horrible as those figures are, they will be dwarfed by the starvation problem that will be faced during the tribulation. And it's a time that is marked by separation, point three, or C. The phrase that was right at the end of those scriptures, do not damage the oil and the wine. This may indicate that the luxury items will not be as effective by the famines. Oil and wine has always been kind of the items of the wealthy. Oil is used in manufacture of cosmetics and alcohol and always been associated with pleasure. In other words, while most of the world is plunged into poverty and starvation, the rich, those in authority, those working for the Antichrist, because he's going to be in charge in those days, they will continue to get richer and live even more extravagant lifestyles than is enjoyed now. There's going to be a great divide that already exists, but it's going to grow exponentially. In fact, those of us in this room, you and I, live in the lap of luxury compared to most of the rest of the world. Consider these facts. The average American puts enough food in their trash can to feed a family of 6 in India each day. For the price of 1 missile, a school full of hungry children can eat lunch every day for 5 years. Throughout the 1990s, more than 1 million children died of illness and starvation. Those 100 million deaths could have been prevented for the price of 10 stealth bombers, or what the world spends on its military in 2 days. To satisfy the world's sanitation and food requirements would only cost $13 billion. That's what people in Europe and the United States spend on perfume each year. The assets of the world's 3 richest men are more than the combined gross national product of at least the developed countries of this planet. It'll be a dividing time. There'll be the haves and the have-nots. And it's only going to grow wider as time goes on during the tribulation. At mid-tribulation, when the Antichrist walks into the temple, sits down upon the mercy seat, proclaims himself God. That's when hell is literally loosed upon this planet. What a horrible, horrible day that will be. So we have the white horse of deception, the red horse of destruction, the black horse of destitution. And then the last horse gets ready to ride. You know, there's probably people watching, probably people sitting here saying, "Ah, Pastor, those things couldn't happen." They will happen. God's word says they will happen. I know that some of this is figurative, but some of it is reality. You mean there's going to be horses riding all over the world? No. But those individuals that are represented will. It's going to be a time that you can't even imagine. Brutal. Horrible. But you don't have to be here. Everybody whose name is written in the book, they'll miss it. What book, Pastor? The book of the Lamb. When you surrender your life to Jesus and you receive Him as your Lord and Savior, your name is written in that book. And beside that name is paid in full. Every debt that you ever owed, every sin you've ever committed, every wrong you've ever done is put under the blood of Christ. When I read these things, and there's still one more horse, well, really two, I'm struck by two thoughts. First, I praise God that I'm saved, that my name's written in that book, that I don't have to worry about the things that I'm reading. I know that none of us understand how bad things are going to get before Jesus comes again. We already see the beginnings of some of these things in our world. I was listening to Jensen Franklin this morning, and he made the statement, the world is ripe for the rise of the Antichrist and the start of the tribulation. And I can look at it and it's gloomy, but at the same time I can look at it and I know I'm not going to be here, because I'm going to be caught away in the rapture. I praise God that I'm leaving this old planet before the bottom falls out. The second thing makes me grieve for those who don't know the Lord, those whose name is not written in the book. My family, my friends, my acquaintances, people who come in and out of businesses lost. Some of my neighbors are lost. I walk down the street and I meet people every day who are lost. All they have to look forward to is pain and suffering and misery while they're still on earth. And then there's an eternity in hell waiting for them. Tears my heart out. If you're sitting in here right now and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've never personally asked Him to forgive you of your sins, you've never personally asked Him to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, why are you waiting? What are you waiting for? There's going to be those that just moments after friends and loved ones disappear that are changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. There's going to be millions of people around the world that's going to say, oh, I wish. Right now is your chance. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the opportune time, the Bible says. Don't wait. Surrender now. Receive Him as Lord and Savior. Give your life to Him. You say, but Pastor, I don't understand all that stuff. It's okay. Ask Him to reveal Himself to you, and He'll do it. Ask Him to talk to you, and then get alone and listen. He'll talk to you. Or I'll sit down and talk to you. Either way, today's the day. So would everyone at home and here just bow your heads for a moment? And would you just quickly say, Lord, if all these things are true, I'm in serious trouble. I'm asking that You come into my heart. I'm asking that You forgive my sin. I'm asking You to wipe the slate clean, and that You would write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus, I receive You as my Lord and Savior, and I give my life to You. Help me. Show me. Send Your Holy Spirit to guide me. I'll do everything I can to serve You. In Your awesome name. Amen. And amen.